Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is our third episode of West Coast XC. This is our YouTube channel, but we've also moved up to Spotify and Apple Podcasts, too, if you want to choose that also. So please subscribe and also follow. And Todd, welcome back.
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
Good. Welcome back.
You survived the rain?
It's not raining right now, but it was raining for a couple hours on Saturday. I see that you've got some on your Instagram posts. You've got high school basketball pictures up.
Yeah, basketball season starting, soccer's starting as well, and so that's how I'll keep myself busy since we don't have any real indoor here in California. I'll do that for a couple of months until we get to the track.
Well, excellent. We don't have that here in Oregon either, but the University of Washington does have these really awesome meets that I go up to every 2 weeks, and they're incredible. But then California has meets like at the end of February into March. We don't have them until like April. So you guys get a nice little jump start on us in the Northwest. So in today's episode, I want to discuss a recap of NXN and then recapping Foot Locker West and then a little peek into Foot Locker this Saturday in San Diego. And I want to make a note, Todd, I've lived in the Pacific Northwest in Portland now for over 30 years, and I'm still kind of surprised by weather. I wasn't surprised that it rained at NXN, but it didn't rain for 10 days beforehand. And so I thought the course will hold. It hadn't rained for 10 days. And it started raining at 8 o'clock in the morning, 2 hours before the race. I went, it's going to hold. And it did not hold. The introductions are done by the finish line. I'm taking pictures of that. And then at like 9:52 with like 12 minutes to spare, 13 minutes to spare, I'm racing to the starting line, which is a bit of a slope, not steep, but it's a little bit of a downhill. And everybody around me is falling. 2 hours.
You made sure your camera didn't fall, right?
My daughter took pictures with me, and at the end of the meet, she said, I can't believe you didn't fall. And I can't believe I didn't fall either. But I do. I watched plenty of parents and coaches slide all over the place. And, the course didn't hold, and it was wet and sloppy, and that's Portland in December.
The river in the middle of the race was the water feature in the middle of the course was something I've never seen before. It's almost like a steeplecross or something now.
Yeah, that last year it rained much more during the week, and that was a lake, and they were pumping water out of it, and it still was awful. So that kind of, that happens annually, unfortunately. I'm sure it's a shock to the kids from like Arizona and California and such. So the first race was the girls' race, and the school was known as Denver because they're not allowed to call themselves by their school names. We're going to call them by their school name because we can. It was Mountain Vista won the race at 75 points with 22 teams. That's a pretty low score. And that was predicted by a lot of people that they'd win. Second place was Lone Peak of Utah, 107. That is kind of interesting, Todd. That might have not been predicted because they finished fourth in NXR Southwest, and they were an at-large team. But they're from the Southwest. Southwest is amazing.
Southwest, I mean, even up to Division II college, Southwest, that whole section, even to Colorado and Utah, is amazing.
Amazing. And so they finished fourth in their section, got invited, finished second, which I don't know if that's really a surprise. That happens. And then the third place, I didn't think it was much of a surprise, is our own Buchanan from the West Coast.
Yeah.
Finished third. I saw that they were predicted to either finish third or fourth. And so they finished third. And they finished third 2 years ago. They ran the course last year. Those girls are used to this experience. I think that was really helped them. They were used to it, I think. They have this amazing pack.
Yeah, the pack running by them was amazing. It's like four girls within eight places of each other or something like that in the mid-50s.
Less than 4 seconds, yes.
Yeah.
And I noticed on your notes you were saying that Mountain Vista put like four girls in front of Buchanan.
Yeah.
And Air Academy, who finished fourth, they won it last year. They put four girls in front of Buchanan also.
Oh, so is the fifth runner.
Yeah, and it was just the fact that those Buchanan, even the fifth girl was not too far from the fourth girl in Buchanan. That was the key. If you love cross country and you know it's a team sport, there you go. It's those girls were all glued close to each other in the.
And weren't you also saying that one of the awards is like, don't they celebrate the, oh, they were saying it on the broadcast. They celebrate the fifth runner, like the highest placing fifth runner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they have an awards that night. A bunch of, like some of Rich Gonzalez's photographers are asking me if I was going, and I didn't go. I was so wet. I didn't go. But they have special awards that at the hotel later that evening, so that must be one of them.
Cool.
Some of the West Coast schools also participated. Was Chabuco Hills finished 7th? J. Sarah was 16th, and Lincoln of Portland was in 20th. And on the individual side, Jane Hedegren of Tempview, Utah, was another, like Denver or Mountain Vista was kind of thought that they might win it. People really thought that Jane Hedegren of Tempview would also win it. She'd run 1550 at Southwest NXR 2 weeks earlier. That's 5,000. That's not 3 miles. That's fast, right?
I mean, she took off early and just she left everybody behind.
And so, Todd, I'm just running around with my camera trying to get to the next spot. So I'm not really actually knowing what's happening in the race. I can just hear, I think it's Paul Swongard and Galen Rupp announced. They have speakers everywhere. So you can kind of keep track, but they did a really good job. And they were saying that she kept increasing her lead. So then I looked at the splits and she ran her last 1,000. No one ran faster than her in the last 1,000. So she just kept increasing her lead and like over 40 seconds.
That's amazing.
That's
Over that
incredible.
field is pretty amazing.
The field was amazing. There were some superstars in that field. You had Ritzenheim, Maddie Ritzenheim, who won it last year, and Elizabeth Leachman, who won Foot Locker last year. And then you have, Sadie Englehart has the mile record for high school and ran in the Olympic trials in the 1500 last. I mean, you have an amazing field, and she just gapped everybody.
It was amazing to watch.
It was crazy. She was.
Especially given the conditions.
Especially given the conditions. So she got the course record on with really sloppy conditions. I mean, you have to hand it to her. It was really, really amazing. And I have seen, like last year, Elizabeth Leachman did the same thing. She took off really fast and then she paid for it. And then the gal, I forget her name, the gal from Michigan did the same thing at Foot Locker the next week and paid for it. She actually, I forget her name. I feel bad about this, but she is doing great. She ran for, I think, from Michigan State and did really well at NCAAs, finished like 16th or something like that. But it's a risky thing to do when the field is so good and they're patient and strong. And but she never brought them back. She was never, it was never a fact. It was an easy win.
Yeah, easy win. Just have to get a course record in sloppy conditions.
Oh my gosh. So Victoria Leachman, not Victoria, from Midland Dow. Her name's Victoria, I think Garces, maybe. I have a typo there. She finished 2nd. Elizabeth
Garces, yeah.
Leachman, what's that?
Yeah, Victoria Garces.
Yeah, Victoria Garces of Midland Dow, Michigan finished 2nd. Elizabeth Leachman finished 3rd for Bourne Champion High School in Texas. And then we had a number of young ladies from the West Coast that got All-American honors. That's if you're in the top 21, and that includes Sophia Rodriguez of Mercer Island was 8th. 11th was Sadie Englehart of Ventura. 12th was Victoria Rodriguez, older sister of Sophia. Electra Higgins finished 13th. I want to give Electra Higgins a shout out. I just toggle. I live in Portland, but I get up to Seattle and Tacoma and take pictures there, get down to California. I go back and forth. And I saw, Electra Higgins just dominate up there, and you didn't really see her in any of like the predictions and such, but she finished 13th and she had a great season for Peninsula High School up in the southern part of Seattle, Tacoma area. Holly Barker, 14th for Chabuco Hills, great career in California. Emily Wisniewski of Crescent Valley of Oregon, All-American again. She was an All-American last year. Chloe Heiler of Lake Ridge, All-American. Lake Ridge is in a suburb of Portland. And so and then there was just a really actually a bunch of gals right pretty close to them too. West Coast, Best Coast, they did a really great job. And I did a little research, Todd, for next year. Buchanan only graduates only three seniors, and four of their
Wow.
top five at NXN are returning.
Wow.
And Alta Sierra is their middle school, and they're amazing. And I don't know, I haven't done my research, but there was probably an eighth grader waiting. The Gabby Gutierrez of Buchanan's a freshman. They get more and more kids, and there's probably eighth and ninth and tenth kids on their team currently that are pretty strong too. It's a deep
Yeah,
team.
they always reload.
Yeah, so they may come back again next year. Another
And I
team.
think they also always find somebody during track season. Somebody emerges out of their 32 and 1600 pack that was farther down the cross country depth chart. So,
Yeah, I visited them like 2 summers ago, and there was a gal, and she was running really well. And I didn't remember her because she was injured for most of the year, and she was healthy again. So they just have just a number of kids. The other school that we should talk about is Chabuca Hills returns five. They're Holly Barker and Sophia Guilfoyle are some of their better runners, so they're losing some of their top runners. But five out of seven is really great. And Jay Sarah has six of seven coming back.
That's nutty. That's incredible.
And Jay Sarah's been there 3 years in a row. They
Yeah.
would have been there 4 or 5, but they didn't have the meet for two years. So,
Right.
a great race for the girls, and then the boys' race was next, and that's when the course really fell apart.
Yeah, it looked bad. And you saw people slipping during the race in those last couple of hairpins and everything as well. I think, was it Leonard had the lead for a while and slipped. And I think that may have been just enough.
He looked on unhappy. Not, I mean, he looked a little upset at the awards. He was gracious and everything. He was great, but you could tell
Yeah.
he was like, I
Yeah.
could have won it. I fell like 1,000 meters to go. So I'm taking pictures on that corner, and I'm looking straight ahead. I don't see them turning. And I you there, like I said, there's speakers everywhere, and I can hear Galen Rupp go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I don't know who fell. It happened near me. I was watching the HD Runner Instagram post maybe yesterday of Jane Hedegren going around that turn, and there was no water splashing. That turn, the next race was a mess, and that's where people were going down. That's pretty close to the finish. So you just feel bad for him and falling right there. It's unfortunate. There were kids doing striders at the beginning and just falling at the start. It was like, oh my gosh, poor kids. It was rough for the boys. And that probably why it became kind of an unpredictable finish. That Harriman
Yeah.
was a school that people thought would repeat. They finished third, which is still great. They're up on the podium. But Niwot wins, which was a bit of an upset, Todd, but they did return their entire varsity squad that finished third last year.
Jeez. Again, Colorado school, right? Colorado
Colorado school,
school followed by two
we're in the
Utah
Southwest
schools.
again. Harriman's in the Southwest. Second place team, American Fork, is in Utah, Southwest. I
Yeah.
think American Fork finished second last year. I mean, it's unbelievable how good
Yeah.
that section is.
Well, they also get the benefit of all of them get to train at elevation too. They get to come down for the race,
Yeah,
which doesn't hurt. At the very least, psychologically, doesn't hurt.
it's maybe somebody can write a book about it too. There's elevation, there's coaching, there's culture.
Yeah.
Everybody's running fast. You have to run fast. That's it's amazing. What else should we talk about there? Are
Yeah,
the
we got Jesuit and Menlo finishing
right.
15, 11 and 15. Jesuit California, sorry, there's the second Jesuit school from Oregon there as well.
Yeah, Jesuit finished 11th. Menlo Schools was up there. Glendora. Also Jesuit, Jesuit of Oregon. And then I made the same notes I did with the Buchanan schools. Jesuit of Carmichael of Sacramento of California returned six of seven.
And again, they like we I talked about in a previous episode, they always find a new person. They always reload. They are always at the top.
Jesuit of Oregon is mostly run by juniors. The first three runners were juniors. One of their other juniors didn't run quite as well, but he's that's a team that they're really actually 1 year ahead of schedule, and they look really strong for next year. So watch out for the two Jesuits next year. That'll be fun. Glendora is mostly seniors. A lot of seniors on the Menlo team,
Yeah.
but. And then
That's still a great story. The Menlo is still a great story for this
it's
year.
a great story. Yeah, they seemed, I think, were very gracious to let me take their picture at the end there. I'll have to say I can't read lips and I don't hear as well as I used to, but Jesuit of Carmichael and Menlo were like looking at each other. They were really close to me. That's why I got both their photos at the finish. And I couldn't read their lips, but I could read their expression, and they were just in disbelief. So I'm not sure if it was disbelief over the conditions, which is unusual for them, or if it was disbelief on the competition, because there's just zillions of kids around her, around them. And it could be a combination of, really both. It's
Yeah.
just a crazy, it's just crazy, crazy experience, really. There were three West Coast kids that made All-American. Evan Noonan finished fifth,
He's had a
which was,
great season.
he had a, I guess he had an iron deficiency during the year. I was at Woodbridge where he was in the hunt to win it, and then he faded and was under duress at the finish line. Didn't run Clovis, and is one of those kids that should have been in the top five. Like that would have been a good
No, it's
season.
really good. He finished really strong at state though, at California State.
He did, and actually, I looked at his like progression. He like dropped to 14th, like a mile in the race, and then fought back in. That's awesome. And, I can look at my series of pictures and see him climbing really back in there. We also had Ian Turk was an All-American. That kind of showed that we knew that he ran super fast. Tavon Kitchen of Crater was in the hunt with 1,000 meters to go. Was finished he finished 11, so he was in the hunt.
And
And
we saw Eli Fitchin Young. He front led for most of the first, more than the first half of the race. And then just, I think the conditions and everything just kind of took their toll. He just started fading.
so he was like one of the top returners from the West Coast. He finished All-American 19, so he obviously, especially with boys, a lot of senior heavy fields, and so he's probably one of the top juniors that's returning, and that made a perfect sense for him to be right there. In fact, the pictures at the first maybe half mile to a mile had Evan and him in the lead, and I think if you were to like sit back in August, that would make perfect sense too, right? That's where they belong, and the course probably took its toll on them, and so.
And then remember for the California kids, they go straight from state into NXN, where a lot of the other schools have an extra week or two in between there.
Yes, there's, so I've thought about that through too. There's several disadvantages for California. One is the California State Meet is an intense experience. You can't time trial that. You can't tempo it. You won't make it. There's traveling to, we talked about this last time. You're traveling to Fresno on Thanksgiving weekend too. Buchanan has an advantage there, but the other schools are like driving back and forth and they're hopping on a plane 2 days later or 3 days later. That's hard too. And in the weather, that's so unusual. And then, if you're like a school like Menlo and you're at the Division Five race and your fourth guy is finishing 15th, it's a weird experience to be 133rd. It's just such a disorienting experience. And maybe this might have an impact. They have to work, they don't have to, but they should wear spikes in
We don't wear
California.
spikes in California for cross
You
country.
cannot wear spikes in California for cross country. And that might be something maybe they're not used to doing too. So you have to hand it to the kids. And I also wrote in my notes too that the three California schools had never been there technically. Jesuit went there in 2006. That would those kids weren't born yet, I
It's
don't
actually
think.
kind of surprising.
Yeah, so all three teams have never really experienced that before. Whereas Buchanan had, they'd been through there and knew what it was like. And like Sadie Englehart moved up to 11th place, and she had that experience last year. Riley Blade was moved up a lot from last year. Evan Noonan moved up a lot from last year. Having that in your back pocket and being having that experience is awesome. So, have any other thoughts about NXN?
I like most of it was just looking at the weather and especially some of the pictures, especially from Russell Moore. It just looks like a hot mess, especially for the boys' race.
Yeah, his picture, Russell Moore, if you want to check out his photos, it was on our Monday post on Instagram. Or go on his Instagram post and look at his bio. But there's a great picture of the start where kids are on their Hands
I'm
and
looking at this
knees.
right now. The boys are
Yes.
falling at the start, and it's just there's water everywhere.
Yeah, it was a mess. He did a great job. Todd, what happened, and a lot of other photographers were complaining to me about it too. There are two issues. One is our faces were so warm that we were fogging up the viewfinder, which didn't affect the pictures at all, except you couldn't see what you were doing. So I'm just pressing, focus, and I don't usually, like at NXN, I'm taking pictures of everybody, but I'm also looking for our West Coast kids. And I didn't do a very good job this time because I couldn't see them. And then at the boys' race, the clouds lowered. And so you see kind of a, like his pictures are a little bit darker, and my pictures are foggy. And what can you do? So, Todd, I have an anecdote that goes right into Foot Locker. Are you ready for this? So I'm again taking pictures of the introductions for the boys. I'm headed down, trying not to fall down, get to the starting line, and I see Justin Loftus. He's the crater coach. And I turn to him and I'm like, "Coach, you've got too much going on. You've got Tavon starting in about 5 minutes, and then Josiah is over in Mount Sac running." And he goes, "Oh, it's already over. He finished fifth." And that's what I told you last episode, where I just lose track of Mount Sac and Foot Locker West. But by the time the boys ran 11:35, that was all over.
It
So
was
I
much better weather, though.
much better weather. So I knew I didn't have time to look up the results at that point. I just knew that Josiah had made it. And so let's talk about that. In order to get to Foot Locker in San Diego, you have to finish in the top 10 at Mount Sac. And the top finishers for the West was Cassidy Armstrong of Ballard High School, Chiara Daly of La Jolla. Then you had Jalen Williams of Eastlake, and then Audria Favero of Olympus, Tatum Flatch of Park City, Sadie Kruger of, okay, here we go, Moanalua, Lua,
Monoloa,
what's that?
monoloa,
Monoloa
monoloa.
of Hawaii. Then you have Ariana Hickey of the Bishop Schools. Then you have Erica Kirk of Vista Marietta, Nicole Alfred of Rancho Cucamonga, and Eleanor Raker of Galena in Nevada by Reno. And my notes that I wrote down here is that Daly, Williams, and Hickey are from the San Diego area. And when they get introduced, people are going to go crazy. It's going to be awesome for them.
Yeah, you mentioned last time it was probably a conscious decision, particularly on Daly's part, just kind of knowing that she'd have a pretty good chance of going through to San Diego. So it's cool for her.
Really cool. And Kruger is the first Hawaiian athlete to make it since 2004. I know. My daughter was like, when it was over, because she helped me take pictures, she said, "Hey, Hawaii girl made it. When does that happen?" And I went, "Oh, it happened in the early, I knew it. I took my Aloha team to Foot Locker West, and a Hawaii gal made it in the early 2000s. I remember that." And so the other cool fact is Nicole Alfred, and she came up to our meet at Nike Portland XC a couple years ago and ran really well. So I'm familiar with her at Rancho Cucamonga. Finishes 10th at CIF Finals, D1, 21st at CIF State Meet in D1, finishes 9th. Pretty incredible. And I want to also make a shout out for Cassidy Armstrong. I've watched her a couple times this fall. She's from Washington Ballard, and she runs hard, and it didn't surprise me that she made the team. It did surprise me that she won it.
She ran hard, but the halfway point, once she got a gap, she took it. She took it real. She just took off.
And when I take pictures of her in the last mile, you can see on the photos that she's gasping for air. She goes all out. And so she just dominated that race. And on the boys' side, Tyler Dalek of Paso Robles, we've got Cade Bronwell of Mount Spokane, Johannes Van Muren of Flagstaff, Trey Caldwell of De La Salle, Josiah Tostenson of Crater, mentioned him earlier, Max Douglas of Corona Del Mar, Connor Lott of Clovis North, Corbin Combs of Oregon Mountain of New Mexico, Aiden Stephanopoulos of Los Gatos, and Vincent Recupio of Bishop Blanchette. And my notes here that I have is, Cade Brownwell of Mount Spokane declined his NXN. He finished fourth in NXR and said, "No thanks, I'm going to try Foot Locker." And so that's cool that he made it. And then Josiah Tostenson has a really interesting story. He dominated California races from, he's from Oregon, but they went down to Woodbridge. He barely lost Woodbridge to Owen Powell of of on Mercer Island. He ran at NXN, and he won. You were there. He won the Clovis Invitational, and then got sick at the worst time. I got sick.
It's awesome that he's recovered enough to run the race. It's really
Yeah,
cool.
he got sick at the district meet, the elite meet, and then kind of gutted through state meet, and then didn't really struggle at NXR. Corbin Combs, I want to mention, of New Mexico, beat Charlie Voss. In fact, I feel terrible we didn't go over the top three of NXN. Charlie Voss of New Mexico was an upset winner, and Corbin Combs finished beat him at the state meet earlier in November. So he ran that, and yeah, I feel terrible. I totally skipped the top three boys. Should we go back in time? Charlie Voss finished first, second place. Do you have second place?
Hansen from Friedland,
Oh yeah,
Michigan.
TJ Hansen. And then we talked about Caden Leonard, who looked
Caden
really
Leonard.
upset.
That's probably why we jumped to Caden Leonard and
Yeah, and he was very bummed out. He fell and finished second. So back to Foot Locker. My notes there is that Tyler Dalek or Dalek of Paso Robles was a DNF at the California State Meet, which I didn't realize. I saw him in the race. I took pictures of him, and I just
yeah, I remember. Wow, he DNF'd. I saw him pretty late in the race.
me too. He was up
Didn't
there like in the
realize it.
top five, and so I looked to see like
Yeah.
what did he finish eventually at the California State Meet, and it said DNF, and he won by a lot on
Yeah, no,
Saturday.
he was with the front pack, and again, I think Trey Caldwell led for the first half of the race, and then they jostled a bit in the mid race. And once they hit that downhill part, Tyler Dalek, he just took off.
So I have a couple more notes about Foot Locker. I'm not actually going to talk about Foot Locker from the West Coast perspective on Saturday. And the thing I want to mention again is it's possible that Cassie Armstrong ran so well, she could be a player, a front runner on Saturday, which is not expected. She runs so hard. Chiara Daly, she finished 11th last year. I would expect that she's going to try to be up there and try to contend. And then I talked about this a couple episodes ago about Jalen Williams. She won 3200 in California, seventh in NXN, injured, had a late start to her season, started in October. Maybe this is the silver lining where she's in shape in the middle of December for cross country.
Well, and I'm sure she's looking forward to the track season too. Get a couple months rest and just work on your base and come back and be ready to defend her title at 32.
Yeah, and on the boys' side, what else do I want to say about the girls here? I guess I'll go to the boys now. The boys' side, Tyler Dalek, he ran so well, you got to consider him. Cade Brownwell, you've got to consider him. He ran last year at Foot Locker, so he's got that. We talked about like Evan Noonan and Sadie and everybody kind of improving from their previous experience. He's got that experience. He had the confidence to say no thanks to NXN. Go to Mount SAC, which is not necessarily an easy thing, and he qualified. Trey Caldwell, a veteran, but
But
then
he knows the Mount SAC course really well. He's been all up and down the West Coast running races, so.
right, and he won Mount SAC in October. He set the Crystal Springs course record briefly in October. That was a record that was like 50 years old. So he is a veteran also. Josiah Tostenson, if he hadn't gotten sick, he might have finished in the top five at NXN, and his whole team would have gone. It was just the saddest thing ever. And if he's got one more week of training and one more week away from being sick, he could be a big time factor. Another person is Aiden Stephanopoulos, who was at NXN last year. So I'm just kind of like picking on like kids from the West Coast that have like big time race experience where they're not going to get overwhelmed by the moment. So. And so that's Saturday. I mean, it's going to be, the South kids and the East kids and the Midwest kids. They've had 2 weeks rest, and those kids will be the big time stars. But we're looking forward to seeing some of those athletes we mentioned mixing it up and being involved in San Diego. That'd be really fun.
No, it's always nice. San Diego's a great place
Oh
in
my
the middle of
gosh.
winter. You can't beat the weather there.
Oh my gosh. And it looks like it's going to be pretty nice there. So,
Yeah, it always is. San Diego has like 1 week of bad weather through the
yeah.
year. So,
Well, Todd, thanks a lot for being my guest host again. I appreciate it. And thanks for making time. And
not a problem. Always enjoy
again,
it.
yeah, and follow us on YouTube and follow, well, subscribe on YouTube. Let me get this right. And follow us on Apple Podcast and also on Spotify. And until next week, signing off, and we will talk to you later.